Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 24th of November 2019. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, one of our elders, Alec Prale, will be carrying on our look at Numbers, and he'll be looking at marking time and pressing on. The readings are Numbers chapters 33, 1 to 12 and 48 to 54. So we'll hear the readings and then Alec will start the sermon.
Reading today is from Numbers 33, verses 1 to 12, stages in Israel's journey. Here are the stages in the journey of the Israelites when they came out of Egypt by divisions under the leadership of Moses and Aaron. At the Lord's command, Moses recorded the stages in their journey. This is their journey by stages. The Israelites set out from Ramesses on the 15th day of the first month, the day after the Passover. They marched out boldly in full view of all the Egyptians, who were burying all their firstborn, whom the Lord had struck down among them, for the Lord had brought judgment on their gods. The Israelites left Ramesses and camped at Succoth. They left Succoth and camped at Etham, on the edge of the desert. They left Etham, turned back to Pi-Hahiroth, to the east of Baal-Zephon, and camped near Migdol. They left Pi-Hahiroth and passed through the sea into the desert. And when they had travelled for 3 days in the desert of Etham, they camped at Marah. They left Marah and went to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there. They left Elim and camped by the Red Sea. They left the Red Sea and camped at the desert of Sin. They left the desert of Sin and camped at Dophra.
And from Numbers 33, 48 to 54. They left the mountains of Abarim and camped on the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. There on the plains of Moab, they camped along the Jordan from Beth Jeshimoth to Abel Shittim. On the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho, the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into Canaan, drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you. Destroy all their carved images and their cast idols, and demolish all their high places. Take possession of the land and settle in it, for I have given you the land to possess. Distribute the land by lot, according to your clans. To a larger group, give a large inheritance, and to a smaller group, a smaller one. Whatever falls to them by lot will be theirs. Distribute it according to your ancestral tribes." This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Well done to the readers. I knew I was giving them a difficult reading. But as I said to them individually beforehand, if you don't know how to pronounce the word, just say it boldly and everyone will think how clever you are. Because do you know how to pronounce some of those words? Because I certainly don't. And that's what I was taught long ago. If in doubt, just say something boldly and people will think, oh, isn't he clever? Well, it's just, who knows? If you've got the plan for the quarter, you'll have seen that last week on our travel through Numbers, we should have been having a message called Marking Time. But we didn't have it because we had Richard here, we had a speaker here who brought his own subject. So we missed out on Marking Time. And today it says that pressing on. So I'm going to try and do Marking Time and Pressing On all in one sermon, looking at the children of Israel. And the reason I gave that reading to people and said, well, we'll leave a whole chunk out of the middle because they go from place to place to place to place, and they move from here to here to here to here. If you read the whole lot, you get the impression of what a long, long journey this was. Mind you, when you spread it over 40 years, they obviously spent quite a long time in some of those places. But even so, what a long journey. It went on and on and on. After they left the Promised Land, after they left Egypt for the Promised Land, they journeyed from here to there, to there, to there. It was not a direct route getting to the Promised Land in the shortest time and the shortest way possible. God deliberately took them through quite a long wilderness journey in order to get there. But of course, the second, a whole load more of it, is their wanderings in the wilderness after they had refused to go in because they did not have enough faith to go in. We reached the time where they turned back into the wilderness, and altogether they spent 40 years in the wilderness. And I want to suggest to you this morning that their 40 years in the wilderness are divided into two sections. Section one was meant by God. It was planned by God. They were meant to spend time in the wilderness. But it was a positive time. It was a time when they received the commandments. It was a time when they received the instructions regarding the building of the tabernacle. It was a time when they were told about the whole sacrificial system. It was a time when the priesthood was established. They couldn't have gone straight from Egypt to Canaan and had all of that take place. They had to take their time through the desert, through the wilderness, in order for God to impart something to them, to teach them something, for God to deal with them. They went through the desert, and they were meant to go through the desert. But folks, that first period of being in the wilderness, they may have just been marking time. They weren't actually getting in, but it was a positive time. But the second period, the longer period, was a very, very negative period. All that was happening in that second period, basically, was waiting for all those who had been rebellious to die. You can see there's two sections to being in the wilderness. Being in the wilderness, a positive thing. God's teaching them, God's dealing with them, God's talking to them, God's showing them. And then there's in the wilderness, a negative thing. So they were marking time. They weren't getting anywhere. Folks, I imagine many of you have been through periods in your lives. You may have been Christians for years. You may well have been through periods in your lives which were a bit like a wilderness or a desert. Anybody ever been in those kind of circumstances? Oh, there's quite a few hands going up. And folks, I want you to say this morning that when we go through those desert periods, and let's be honest, even our Christianity seems a bit dull. I know it shouldn't be, but we've been there. When it's a bit hard, when it's a bit sort of samey, you go to church and you go home again and well, it's just the same old, and we go through a bit of a desert. The desert experiences can be one of two things. If we will approach and go through our desert periods with our faith strong, they can be good times. We can look back and we can say we learned. We learned to trust God in that period. We learned to go on with God in that period. We learned to rely on our Bible more in that period. We learned through that desert experience. But if we're not careful, when we go through those kind of experiences, they become negative. And there are people who go through a bit of a difficult desert time and actually ends up in spiritual death. And it's sad, we can look back and I think know people who went through a bit of a desert time and they turned their back on the Lord. A desert period, a hard period, a monotonous period can be a good thing because we can learn and we can grow. It was a bit monotonous, it was a bit ordinary. Can you imagine these little Israelite children? What's for breakfast, Mum? Can we have a fry up? Yeah, fried manna. What's for dinner, Mum? Have we got sandwiches? Yeah, a couple of slices of manna loaf. What's for tea, Mum? Can we have chips? Yeah, manna chips. Can we have a pudding, Mum? Well, they did have their cattle with them, so perhaps they could have had a milk pudding. But will it be a rice pudding? Will it be a macaroni pudding? No, it'll be a manna pudding. It was all a bit monotonous. It was all a bit... But they went through that period and it was good. They were learning, they were growing, they were going on. But of course we know there's a bit of moaning going on. I've been there, have you? Moaning at God sometimes. But our desert periods, we all have them. And I have to say, having been in church since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, so do churches. There are times when churches go through a bit of a stagnant time and nothing much is going on and nothing much is happening. But they aren't always necessarily bad times. We can come out of them strong and come out of them with a fresh enthusiasm as we learn. And I want to encourage you this morning, if as individuals you go through desert periods, learn from them. Draw closer to God in them. Don't turn your back on him. So your desert times can be times of growth or times of shrinking and dying. I don't believe God ever wants us to spend long periods in the desert. God never planned for them to spend 40 years in the desert. That was their own fault. But short periods of desert in individual lives and in maybe sometimes even in church lives, they can actually be good things because we learn and we come close to the Lord. And so when they were marking time, to start with that was fine. But then for many, many years it was a negative thing because they would not go on where God wanted them to go. But in the story, as we follow it through, we get to the point now where they are ready to go in to the promised land. It was a time to leave the wilderness behind them and to move in to the promised land. And God was calling them to go in and take the land, go in and possess what I've got for you. Move on. It's not often that such a dramatic change takes place when you as individuals or we as a church take a decision to move on. But this was going to be a tremendously dramatic change. Things were going to be completely different. When they moved in, the manna stopped. Why did the manna stop? Because they were moving into the land, what does it say, flowing with milk and honey, with the grapes and the beautiful land that could grow glorious crops. Tremendous change. But you know, we need to be willing individually and collectively to say, yes Lord, I'll take that step forward. Yes Lord, we will move on. And God will bring change and blessing into our lives. You see, God had already told this nation to move on. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Verse 6, this is when they got to the promised land the first time. The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go in. Verse 8, see, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession. But they didn't. They sent the spies in and the spies saw the grapes and the spies saw the giants. And the majority of them saw the giants bigger than they really were and didn't see the grapes as glorious as they really were. And with lack of faith, they didn't go in. But now God is speaking to them again and is telling them to go in. Verse 53 of our reading, God says to them, "Take possession of the land and settle in it, for I have given you the land to possess." Go in, take possession of the land which I have given you to possess. And we know the story. They did go in and they did possess the land. What was different about it? What was different about this time from the previous time? Were the grapes any better? Were the grapes any bigger? Some of you are shaking your heads. I don't think so. I think there'd have been the same crops of grapes then as there had been all those years earlier. Had the giants all disappeared? No, they hadn't. We know, we go right on, and we even in David's time there's still giants around. The grapes were still there. The giants were still there. So what had changed? What had changed was that now the people believed God. Now the people trusted God. Now the people were willing to take that move of faith and to go on with God. Folks, whenever God asks individuals or Christians to take a step forward, there's likely to be before you some good things about it, what you might call the grapes. And there's quite often something in front also which looks a bit scary. The giants. And I know I'm referring back now to a sermon that Paul preached several weeks ago. What do you see, the grapes or do you see the giants? Well, the first time they saw the giants outnumbering, as it were, outweighing the grapes. But now they see that with God, the grapes outweigh the giants. It's not their perception of grapes and giants, it's their perception of God. They believe God can give them the grapes and help them to overcome the giants. Whereas before, they believed that the giants were too big for them. They were willing to go now in faith, and God gets them to press on. Come on, you're nearly there. You were only teenagers and children when you were here last time. Now you've grown up. Come on, you can go in. And they believe, and we know that they would go in. We have to be willing sometimes to take a step of faith and to say, I believe God will help us overcome the giants. I believe that in front of me they are beautiful, glorious bunches of grapes. And yes, a land flowing with milk and honey. I want to talk for a minute or two about a decision we took in the church meeting this week. Not all of you were there, obviously not all of you are church members. But Paul's already said that this week we took the decision to ask Richard to come here as the student minister. He will come here and he will work 2 or 3 days a week for the church. That was a decision which I believe was a decision to move forwards. And I was thinking about this and I thought, well, what are the grapes in this? What are the grapes in us having a part-time young student here to work with us? I saw a huge bunch of white grapes. Bear with me with these pictures. I bought this, and what was that bunch of white grapes? It was him coming here, a young, enthusiastic, committed Christian, putting time and energy into our church. Come on, folks, surely that's going to be a blessing to us. Surely that will be a blessing to us. But I saw another bunch of grapes, a glorious bunch of red grapes. And I think the second bunch of grapes might be even more important than the first one. I saw how much we can do for him. That young man is 25. He probably has before him over 40 years of ministry. How many people is he going to affect in over 40 years of ministry? Hundreds. And if we can help him in his teaching, in his learning to be a minister, how many people are we going to affect? If we bless him, how much is that going to do? You know, you can learn a great deal at Bible college, and I know most ministers do. I didn't go. I did some correspondence. I didn't go to Bible college. But I tell you, there is no substitute for learning on the job. It's not either or. I think if I'd have gone into the ministry as young as he is, I'd have needed to go to Bible college, definitely. But I believe that learning on the job is important. And so I think we've taken a step forward. We've taken a step forward. And I think I've taken a step forward and you've taken a step forward because we can see the grapes. We can see what he can do for us. And we can see what he can do for him. And the effect of that, folks, we don't know. How many people is he going to lead to the Lord in his future ministry? How many people is he going to help to grow in their Christian life? How many people is he going to influence over the next 40 plus years? If we can help him in that, let's do it. But I did see a giant. I saw a horrible giant. Some of you, you know where I'm going, don't you? You know where I'm going? Pauline told us about £20,000 a year. That's a bit of a giant, isn't it? That's what's going to cost us. About £20,000 a year. So blow that. Blow the giant, because God's bigger than that. After we'd taken the decision, she came up here and told us that over the last quarter, our income has been considerably below our projected, what we want. Suddenly the giant got bigger. Right? Suddenly the giant got bigger. So what? We're taking a step of faith. I can see the grapes. I can see the giant. But our God is an awesome God. I love that song, actually. It's a very simple. It's definitely most simple. The last church I was a pastor at, we had quite a group of teenagers there, and they used to love that song. And they used to sing it. And they used to start, "Our God is an awesome God." And then every time they'd sang it through twice, they changed the key, and they changed the key, and they changed the key until they couldn't do it anymore. And I just saw that gets into you. Our God is an awesome God. What had changed? How come these people could go forward? Because they'd got it in their heads and in their hearts. Our God is an awesome God. The grapes aren't any bigger than they used to be. And the giants aren't any smaller than they used to be. But we can go in. Because our God is an awesome God. For the Israelites, the Lord led them, the Lord provided for them, and the Lord enabled them to succeed, and he'll do the same for us. It doesn't mean to say they didn't have to do any fighting. They did. It doesn't mean to say we haven't got to do anything about it. We have. For goodness sake, don't let's ask Richard here and not pray for him. Don't let's ask Richard here and realise that we don't have to put our hands a bit deeper in our pockets, because maybe we will. I remember a minister saying once, doesn't matter how much money something needs, God's got it. But the thing is, it's still in your bank account. Well, we may have to give a bit more, and certainly we have to pray a bit more, but let's go on. And I really believe that the church is going to have to take bigger steps in the future. I think this is quite a small one. I'm believing that we'll have to take bigger steps of faith in the future. But I also want to bring this down now to the individual. You see, it's all very well talking about the church taking steps of faith, but the same thing comes to individuals. Sometimes we've got to be willing to just move on, to change, to do something different, to do something more. I want to ask this morning, simply, if there's anybody here and you've never even taken the first step. You know that step? When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. When you say, Lord, I come before you and ask for your forgiveness and ask you to come into my life. That's the first step. And folks, it can be a bit frightening. It can be a bit frightening. You can be a bit nervous. But our God's an awesome God. And not only is he an awesome God, he's a God of love. And he wants you to come to him. We've had teaching recently about baptism and teaching about church membership. Well, maybe for some that's the next step you need to take. Oh, I'm a bit... I remember someone saying they were frightened of water, getting in the water. But they went. I remember baptizing them. Glorious, glorious occasion. But that was their giant. Their fear of water was their giant when it came to taking that step. But there are other steps we need to take and say yes. A few months ago we had a whole series here about the gifts of the Spirit. Things like speaking in tongues and interpretation and prophecy and words of wisdom and words of knowledge. About healing and praying for the sick. And I'm wondering this morning if there's anybody here and you've thought, well, I think God wants me to say something, but you haven't done it. Or I think God wants me to lay hands on that person and pray for them, but there's a giant in the way, isn't there? There's a giant in the way. I know what the giant's called. Nervousness. Fear. Supposing I get it wrong. They'll all think I'm silly. No, we won't. We'll all think, how great of you to give it a go. Supposing I pray for someone and they don't get healed. Well, they're not going to get healed if you don't pray for them. And sometimes, you know, fear and nervousness holds us back. And when it holds us back, it holds us as individuals back, but it holds the church back. If you've got something that you should be saying and you don't say it, we're not getting the blessing. If there's someone you should be praying for and you don't pray for them, they're not getting the blessing. We have to be willing sometimes to see the positive and realize that no matter how big the giant looks, our God is an awesome God. With God, all things are possible. Peter could even start walking on the water. Admittedly, he took his eyes off the Lord and started to sink. But God didn't let him drown. Jesus didn't let him drown. He cried out, Lord, save me. We had a word last Sunday night and someone said that was exactly for them, about taking a step and realizing, if you step out in faith, God won't let you drown. If you step out in faith, God won't abandon you. We need to be willing as a church to take steps of faith. To move on. We need to be willing as individuals to take steps of faith and to move on. We need to be willing to say, Lord, I believe that's of you. And if it's of God, it will succeed. It was of God that they went into the promised land. And yes, they could cross the Jordan. They'd already crossed the Red Sea. Now they're going to cross the Jordan. The priests carry the ark and they go down into the Jordan and the water stops and through they go. As soon as they get there, there's a town with this massive wall all the way around. But God can knock the walls down. God can knock the walls down. So what are the walls in your life? Walls of fear, walls of nervousness, walls of just feeling I'm not good enough. I'm not clever enough. I've got 3 O-levels, that's how clever I am. I'm not clever enough. I'm not good enough. Or I haven't been a Christian long enough. Or I haven't been appointed to such and such a position. Folks, our God is able to take us through. They pressed on. Let me ask you, by faith, to believe this church will press on. This church will press on. It's going to be more than it has been. It's going to do more than it has done. It's going to touch more people than it's touching now. Let's believe and press on. But as individuals, let's be willing to press on. And some of us will say, well, I've been a Christian for 60 years. Maybe some of you 70 years. Folks, we can still press on. Are you exactly like Jesus? No? Well, you can still keep pressing on, becoming more and more like him. Is there anything else the Lord might want you to do that you haven't been doing? Well, take a step of faith and get on with it. Because our God is an awesome God. Don't let's keep marking time. Well, I will perhaps next time, perhaps later. I remember when I first spoke out using the gifts of the Spirit in a church. I should have done and I didn't do it. And then somebody got up and said, God has given you the words, you are meant to speak them out. My heart went boombity 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 bum. God was speaking to me. And sometimes, you know, maybe this comes out, but sometimes do you ever feel your little heart going, boombity 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 bum? I'm meant to be praying for that person. I'm meant to be coming up the front and giving a word. I'm meant to be talking to someone. I'm meant to be witnessing. I'm meant to be. And your heart's going boombity boom. And there's this giant called fear and nerves. Folks, the grapes far outweigh the giants. Let's press on and not keep marking time. Amen.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. And as it's Christmas just around the corner, Advent starts next week. So if you want to find out what's going on at Minehead Baptist Church over Christmas, then please go to minehead-baptist.com/Christmas. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.